Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, this is Joe Lynch. I'm here on the Must Hear Music podcast, and we have some very special guests today. We have Sunflower Bean.
Hi.
And, well, welcome, first off. And
Hi.
So we've got
Hi.
Three of you here. Can you guys all introduce yourselves so with your names so we all know, people listening know who's talking?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jacob from Sunflower Bean.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Julia.
Cool. And so... So yeah, you guys brought some recommendations, which we'll get to, which I appreciate very much. But let's talk. I want to talk a little about the band too. So your album "Human Ceremony" came out, which is awesome. I really like it. I'm just wondering, like, it's a kind of, it reminded me of like both '60s psychedelica and kind of like '80s jangly college rock. But you guys are pretty young, so like, how did you get into that type of music?
Yeah.
I think our parents,
yeah,
and then further digging upon that,
yeah, we all had kind of like parents that really loved music, and I think they kind of like shared that with us a little bit. And then once you kind of, I feel like, have that foundation, then you kind of branch out from there and like discover your own stuff. But yeah, we definitely didn't grow up with like listening to a lot of like hip hop, I guess. Or I didn't, yeah.
Or pop music.
Or pop music, really. Like, or it's a different kind of pop.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, how did you all meet? How did you come together to form?
I was playing in another band since I was like 13, and the boys were in another band when they were like 14, 15. So we were all kind of like in the music scene, and so we would end up like, our old bands played a show together and we went to shows together and we kind of saw each other around. And I actually saw Nick and Jacob play as Sunflower Bean with a different bass player, and I was like, oh, those guys got something going on. And then they asked me to be the full-time bassist and singer. Yeah,
that's awesome. So you were already a fan before you...
I was, yeah, we had all started becoming friends, and then I went to see them, and I remember they were playing Wild Thing, and Nick was, like, on the floor playing guitar, and I was like, they're going for something here. This is really good.
You mean, like, the Trogs Wild Thing, not, like, Tone Loc rap song Wild
Thing? Yeah, not the rap song. I would like to see that as well, but...
Some other time.
Yeah.
And so when you were working on the album, was like, how did you do that? Do you guys all work together, or did someone kind of handle primary songwriting duties, or?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm answering so many questions.
yeah, I mean,
totally
I guess
fine.
In general, we kind of write songs all together. Like, Nick will usually bring in like a guitar riff or like a part of a song or something, and then we'll like work it out together. And then for the album, we kind of did the same thing, except we reworked some older songs and wrote some new ones. And then we did a lot of demoing for the album with the help of Matt Molnar, who produced it. And we, yeah, kind of went to his home studio and figured a lot of stuff out.
Yeah, we just basically, like, since Nick brings in a lot of different ideas and like songs that are up to like a certain point, and then we all work it out in Jacob's basement, which is where we still we've played from the beginning and still play out in Long Island. It's like nice to be away from the city a little bit and work stuff out there. So it's pretty collaborative.
So you're rehearsing in Long Island, and where are you guys living now? Are you in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn.
And
I live in Long Island.
Yeah, and I live in kind of like Alphabet City slash the East Village, in the apartment that I grew up in, actually. But my parents aren't there, so it's kind of weird. But we all used to live together in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And you found, did that work? I mean, because I know a lot of young bands are finding it's too, well, and old bands too. I've talked to people in their 40s who are like leaving Brooklyn because it's just getting so expensive now.
Yeah.
But you guys are like able to make it work so far. Was that why you moved out of the place altogether, living all together?
I think, well, living all together was, actually, I think worked fairly yeah. well for how intensive a situation it is. But I went back because the my dad was moving out of the apartment and it's rent stabilized. Mm-hmm. It's not rent controlled, but right. it's like, it still goes up, but, you know, only it's only allowed to by certain increments. So for me, it was this, I'm paying the same price that I was in Bushwick, which is pretty hefty on both mm-hmm. sides, but at least in this way, I was keeping the apartment, but I still have roommates and stuff.
Right. And so when you were working on this one, were there any particular like bands or other albums that you used as kind of touchstones, or like what were you thinking? Where was your like musical headspace while working on this?
I think there were a few albums that we were kind of thinking about while we made this one, and it was the first Velvet Underground album. Houses of the Holy,
yeah,
by Led Zeppelin. Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, and Piper at the Gates of Dawn by Pink Floyd. I think were kind of inspiration albums in terms of like their dynamic between mm-hmm. like really heavy and loud, exciting songs, and then softer, more sweet, poppier, sort of like soft rock songs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. those are all, I mean, yeah, those are all unimpugnable albums, and that's a good point about House of the Holy is very much like that, yeah. like with the soft, like really lovely stuff and then the really good riffs. Because yeah, I was surprised listening to your album for the first time whenever it came out. I think it was in February, right?
Yeah. 3 weeks ago.
And now it is February, yeah. So that was a few weeks ago. That, you know, like it starts out and you're like, I was kind of like, okay, I like this sound, and then but there's some really like heavier moments too, like mm-hmm. where you guys really like rock out. Do you ever like, would you ever consider doing like a full on like start to finish like hard rock metal-y song?
Well, we kind of, yeah, we did that with that our first 7-inch with Fat Possum that we mm-hmm. put out, The Stalker and I Hear Voices. We kind of did that and like chose to do that. Like, we went to a studio called Volume 4 after the Black Sabbath album, nice. And it was like known to get like a really good like heavy sound, and I think we did it all to tape, very little overdubs kind of thing, and I think it was kind of like unfulfilling mm-hmm. in a way for us, because like even though it's really kind of like fun to do that and we love to, it's just, I don't know, we felt like we could explore more. Yeah.
It's fun for us to play really heavy songs live, but then for some reason on that 7-inch when we tried to make, you know, like two like stoner rock songs on a 7-inch, it just wasn't, yeah. It didn't sound like us really to us, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And for some reason it comes across really great live, and it's a lot of fun live, but on the record we kind of just sound like a very light sort of like doom rock band. Like if you played the 7-inch at 33 RPM instead of 45, it sounds like an actual doom metal band. Like if you do that, then it sounds like a real Electric Wizard song. But yeah. if not, it kind of sounds like a hipstery indie rock version of a doom rock song.
Well, I think it's also like, you know, it's I think one thing that we all like to do is to, you know, try to channel a lot of different influences and make something sort of original out of that. And I think when you just try to do like
one,
you know,
thing,
one
yeah.
thing, it's not
limiting.
As fun.
Yeah, I think we found that it was limiting.
So I think it's good that we did that, because it taught us, it helped us get into the right headspace for the album, which is like, okay, we don't just want to do this like yeah. really heavy thing
yeah.
all the time.
And the album doesn't really skip genres as much as it just sorry, my mic is being placed. I think it doesn't really skip genres. I think it just has a lot of different
dynamics.
different dynamic and influence from different bands that somehow it's still, to my ears at least, like the same sort of like personality throughout the album.
Yeah, definitely.
Like rock music is a broad term. Like just because you have a song that has a distortion pedal and then there's a song with a chorus pedal doesn't really
mean
you're
skipping genres.
Some people
get really freaked out by it. They're like, this band is jumping from like, you know, like proto psych metal to punk
to scuzz punk to like to whatever like thing you want to put in front of it, like dream noise metal.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And then they have a song that's really airy, like jangle.
Shoegaze,
pop,
dream pop.
Shoegaze.
Just every, I'm impressed. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know we were all those things. That's so crazy. Yeah.
It's like we're just trying to be us.
Just trying to live life.
Yeah. No, I think that's, it's weird when people do that. Like, especially like in 2016 or, you know, even like a couple of years ago, it's just like everyone kind of increasingly listens to everything. Mm-hmm. So to kind of expect bands to stick with one thing, it seems
like
a little old-fashioned.
I feel like most bands really do.
Stick to one thing. Yeah, well, I think...
Or at least two things.
I don't know. It works for... I think also the thing with us is that we're all... Since it is all collaborative, there's so much that's going into it. I think sometimes if you're just, like, one person leading something, it's going to always sound the same. But since it has a lot of different things from each of us, that keeps it a little more broad.
Yeah. That is totally fair. Well, let's talk about... So we're talking about some of the influences. Let's talk about some of the stuff that you guys are listening to and digging these days. So first of all, I want to give you props. I've had a lot of artists come on and like give recommendations, but you guys are like, I think the first one to actually send the list ahead of time, which I really appreciate.
That was big
props to you. So yeah, but let's talk
Krista.
About this is
we need that list.
This is an interesting list. So at the top of it, you've got the new Dive album. Is the name of the song, and so this is the follow up to the one that he put out in 2012, which is Ocean. Is that,
yes.
Yep.
That's always So and that was like a big breakthrough, and this, you know, is 4 years later, which is kind of a long time, you know, between albums, at least like in the 21st century, it seems like a long time. I know like bands in the 70s used to take a lot longer, but it's like now everything is so like have a product out once a year.
God, the fact that Ocean was 4 years ago makes me feel so old.
You are definitely so old.
I can't believe that was 4 years ago.
No, you guys are all super crazy. How old
are
you,
sure
you guys?
Not,
you
were 20. 20.
We're 20.
Yeah, you're incredibly young. So you were in high school when that came out, basically.
Yeah. Dive's one of my true love bands. They were the
true
band
love.
That first... formed when I started coming to DIY shows in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
One of my good friends was asked by Cole back then to be the original guitarist, but
really?
He was just way too young and it didn't work out. But
he was my age. He would have been
like 15.
He was 15 and I was 16, and we both went to Cole's apartment and like listened to the demos. And it was really cool watching Dive, like seeing them a bunch, and they were really a big inspiration to me about how to form a band.
So did you see them at like DBA and Glasslands? And
yeah, I saw them so many times, like probably like 20 to 30 times in like 2012.
That's a lot of times.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to shows like
once
every
a week.
I was going to shows every week, so I pretty much, they were my favorite with a band called Total Slacker and another band that broke up called Night Manager. So every show they played, I would basically go to those three bands.
I think Is the Izzar is a really amazing album, and it is long, but you know what? People like music. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like I feel like everyone's giving it, like, people are hard on it because it is long, but it's like something has to be long these days. You know, like, it's okay.
It all seems necessary.
It does.
And especially for us, because we got to tour with them in October, which was really awesome. And so, like, hearing, like, we got to hear them play it live, or like some of it live every night for a while. So hearing it, like, at least me, I'm just starting to, like, I've been listening to the album, like, just now, like, a couple of times, like, spinning it, and it's, I don't know.
And from start, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to, the feelings that you feel throughout the whole thing, but as far as, like, a album that is probably gonna stand the test of time, which I think is something Cole is really good at doing, I think that, you know, it really will. I think it's a really good record.
Yeah, it's very dynamic. You know, it goes through a lot of, you can really listen to it as one, like, piece.
Yeah,
I think, which is cool.
Like you said, he does a really good job at making, like, an album that feels like an album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that eludes a lot of people. But, I mean, I got the same thing, too. You know, a lot of people say it's too long. I don't know if it's too long, but I do know, like, it just seems like an hour. If an album is an hour, like, even if I think, okay, I'm going to sit down and listen to the whole thing, it just never happens. Like, something gets in the way.
It's true. I guess we were listening to it in the car on tour. So when you're in the car and you put it on, you can listen to it. It's really cool. But I know what you mean. It is hard.
Sometimes I wonder, music is, like, the weirdest art form. It's so weird. Like, music is my life, and I almost never just sit down and listen to it the same way as, like, watching a movie or reading a book. I feel like our generation's, like, really out of touch with listening to music because we're always streaming it or listening to it in a car. Like, I never put on a record and just sit down.
Right.
But, like, I love music so much. Shouldn't I do that? Like, shouldn't that be enough? But, like, I'm always either, like, making breakfast or scrolling on my computer.
Right.
Or something like that.
It's, like, in the background, or you're, like, out and about doing something.
It's like, do I really care about this?
Maybe you don't even like music.
Yeah, I don't. Who knows?
So funny. Sometimes, like, I like watching live videos more than I like listening to records, too.
And I think also knowing you, Nick, you love music. Like, you're one of the most music-obsessed people that I know. And I know a lot of them because this is our whole world. So everyone we hang out with is, like, sometimes I feel like we don't have any conversations that aren't music-related, which is cool in a way, too, because it's what we all like to do, but...
It's a nice bubble. I feel like that's why a lot of people, like, go to Brooklyn in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, is to be around that, you know, be with like-minded music-obsessed
people. But I think with what you say, too, it's like, I don't think you have to be so hard on yourself. Like, sometimes there's something that's really good for making breakfast, and then sometimes you need something that's a little more present to make you, you know, inspired to do something else. It's just different things for different purposes.
Right. And I mean, certainly when you're at a concert, I mean, that's an instance of just kind of standing there and, like, absorbing it, you know, for the most part. Unless you're just, like, on Snapchat the whole time.
Right, of course.
But yeah, so let's talk about one of the other ones. So the Porches album Pool, I have to say, I've been, for some reason, putting off listening to it, and I love it. Like, when you finally sent it, I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and finally listen to it start to finish, and it's so good.
You know, I haven't listened to it besides the singles either, because we've been on tour since it came out, and I really, I'm going to go home and listen to it tonight.
I just threw it on the list, because I know you're like...
It's a very early year, so we were like, oh, it came out this year, like, we have to, like, figure it out. But yeah, it came out, I think it's funny that Is the Izzar, our album, and this record came out on the same day, and it's what we picked.
February 5th, it's a good day.
Yeah.
I think I'm the big Porches fan out of the band, and I'm just saying that because
that's fair.
To be honest, we have mixed feelings on them, but I am a very strong Porches fan. I think that I think his songwriting is incredible. I really like his voice.
The voice is very interesting.
Yeah, I think I really like the two singles that I heard from it, and I'm excited to listen to the rest of the record. I think it's going to be different than Slow Dances in the Cosmos, and I'm excited. Money slow.
And so, I mean, this also includes, like, unlike the Dive record, like, it gets a little more synthy.
Yeah.
Like, is that something that are you into that kind of music as well? Like, would you ever consider, like, experimenting with that?
Oh, I'm really into a lot of synth music. Like, I love chill wave and vaporwave. Which is a funny thing to say because it's like joke genres, but it's nothing I would ever like. I probably will stick to being in a rock band, but I think that
there's a lot of synth on our
album. There's a lot of good synth music for sure. I think like even Mac DeMarco has like that awesome synth song on Salad Days.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, synthesizers are like the same to pianos as electric guitars are to guitars. You know, it's like it can make an unlimited amount of different.
The same to pianos as to electric guitars are guitars. Oh, okay, I got it.
They can pretty much make any noise you want.
I think I get what you're saying.
The same two pianos.
They're the same.
The same TO like pianos. Two, yeah. I heard like TWO pianos for a second. And I
mean,
I was like, huh?
It's easy to make a guitar sound like a synth, and it's easy to make a synth sound like a guitar.
Yeah,
sort of. I get. Well, that's. I feel like that's.
They're both synthesizers.
Like,
you might as well call an electric guitar and a synthesizer guitar.
That's actually a really interesting point.
It's true. There's a lot of similarities.
They look about as close. Like a synthesizer looks as much like a piano as an electric guitar looks like an acoustic guitar.
All right. I see where you're going with this, but
they're both made of magnet. Oh wait, no, that's not true.
Let's move
all.
On from this. Is getting. I don't. Musicians don't usually know too much about.
The equipment they're using.
The science. Magnets.
They don't build it.
That goes into what Julia wants to do for her press.
Well, I thought I had this idea recently. I thought it'd be really funny to ask like musicians to explain like one thing like in science. Like one science.
Like how do clouds form?
How do clouds form, for example, and like see clouds. How many people could get it. Like, just see, like, if you ask, like, one question that's outside of the music realm, like, see if anyone remembers anything from science class. I'd be really curious to see.
I can imagine that being, like, a Pitchfork TV segment.
Like a cartoon would, like, accompany it.
Yeah.
Like, watch Max and Marco explain how earthquakes happen.
I feel like that'd be really, really cool.
You're giving me, like, free content ideas, and I appreciate this.
It's okay.
We did
cool.
that. I spoke to someone at Rough Trade about it. She's like, we'll do it. And then as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, well, I want to do it, but I don't have time to do that. So, but you should do it if you want.
Well, what about like we could do a test run right now? Are there any science concepts that you think you could explain off the top?
We know
of your
nothing.
Head?
Here's the joke. The reason I thought of it is because I'm so terrible at science, and especially later, like late in school, I really gave. I studied music in school.
Mm-hmm.
I was rapidly giving up on things like math and science, which I regret a lot now because I don't think it's cool to not know how things happen. I feel like that keeps you from being, you know, ignorant. And I feel sad that I don't fully understand what's going on a lot of the time, or like that I took chemistry and like I have no idea. I didn't retain like one second of that class. I couldn't tell you anything about chemistry.
I slept through mine and I really regret it.
Right? It's like as soon as you get out of school, you're like, damn. I really school was, there were some things about it that like, just, it's because it's cool to be smart, you know, it's not cool to be not smart. That's what keeps you from, that's how you're like a, you know what's going on in the world. So that was my, my point was like, I'm just curious, like if anyone else knows like anything or if we all kind of like spaced out.
I think it's to be fair though, it's not just musicians. Like a lot of people get out of school and have absolutely no idea. Like you learn it, but you don't know how clouds form. You couldn't say it off the top of your head, or like how a black hole becomes a black
hole. Well, I wonder, like, would you ask the would the musicians pick like their favorite one, or would you put them on the spot, or would you let them do research?
You have to put them on the spot.
It needs some work. This idea, but.
Yeah. Yeah. What else is on that list?
I think you put them on the spot. Because then they can study.
Right. Yeah. Let's. I'm sorry. Let's move on.
All
right.
Enough science. Okay. Cheermag. Can't Stop Fighting.
So good.
Yeah. So yeah. What are your thoughts about that one?
I love Cheermag. I think they're
the best.
I think they're like my favorite band at the moment.
They're so good.
Yeah, we're listening to them a lot on this past tour.
There's not that much to say. I feel like, you know, sometimes with bands, like, you have to, like, explain it or, like, blah, blah, blah. But
it's
easy to get. You just put Cheermag on, you're like, oh, this is good. Like, it's just
it's
good.
Like, it's super great. Good.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you don't even
Everything
have
Everything about it is great. Like, I love the production.
They mastered.
I think I read that they mastered their record on a boombox.
Just like, how is that? Just great. Work? I don't. Who knows?
You know how again, like science. It has like all the different frequency. thing? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Like bass, blah blah blah.
Yeah. Like super fine. I'm not sure. I think they just ran it through a boombox.
They probably mic'd the boombox and then like EQ'd it, like EQ'd out what they didn't want on the boombox, and then
I don't know. Sounds like it's coming out of a boombox. It's not
musicians explaining
other
mastering.
Yeah, right. That's a really good one because I feel like most musicians know what mastering.
No one knows.
I mean, I know what it is, and we know that why you have to do it, and blah blah blah. But like, really.
I honestly don't even know what it is. I think I've seen it done.
I don't think
and
the guys that are
really
doing
know.
It actually know what it is.
Yeah, everyone's doing it, and no one knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it's the music industry.
Do you know anything? I don't know much about Cheermag. Like,
what's their deal?
Yeah, what's their deal?
I've never seen them live, but they're from Philadelphia. And at first, the first time we ever heard of them was at South by Southwest because the Enemy did like the top 100 bands of South by, and we were number 2, and we were like, oh my God, who got number one? Like, let's
and they got
this
number
band.
One.
And then it was Cheermag, and we were like, oh my God, this band deserves it because it's so amazing.
Yeah.
But number 2 is still pretty good.
I know, we weren't. We were very grateful for number 2.
We heard we were possibly going to be number 1, so you get all like hype about it, and then.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean anything, but Cheermag deserves number 1.
No, it's like it's a band. The guitar is kind of. Have you listened to them at all?
Yes, not a ton though, but just a couple
songs. It's just good, like Thin Lizzy guitar and just great vocals, and it's just good.
Yeah, it's super old school, but it definitely. It doesn't sound like it could existed in the 70s.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah, it's very like modern retro rock. Like they use a lot of like the same like I imagine like he listens to a lot of Rolling Stones and a lot of.
Yeah, but it still sounds very new.
And they just, I know they don't, they don't respond to like record label emails. Like they just, which is not necessarily good. It's just like however you want to do it. But they're just like in their own, they're just doing their own thing, which is always cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting comparison with the Stones and Thin Lizzy. Because, the thing that I really liked was the guitar, it's not like a ton of guitar acrobatics, but it's still like really interesting.
Yeah.
Like the guitar always sounds like the notes are like well chosen on the solos.
Very like purposeful. Like, old, like in the way that, like old school guitar solos.
Right.
Are very like purposeful and like almost just like melodic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not like show off-y. But it was really cool. So the song was Cheermag, Can't Stop Fighting. I forgot to do this earlier, but let's listen to a little bit of it now.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was Sheer Meg, Can't Stop Fighting. One of the other recommendations you guys had was Honduras Hollywood, and I dug that. I got kind of like a Modern Lovers vibe from it, sort of thing.
Yeah, they're our friends that Honduras we've known for a while.
A cool band, yeah. They've been around. They've been around like the Brooklyn DIY scene for a while, and they're opening for us at Bowery, and they're a really solid band. Yeah. They're really good guys, and they're working on a new record right now, and this EP is like a little, just like a little taste.
I think this
newest
batch of songs is like is really really awesome and kind of like a new direction for them.
And they're doing the East Coast of this as well, so they're just like they're just solid. They're like they're like working it out. I think the next album they do is going to be really amazing too.
Yeah.
That brings me to just kind of a related question. I'm always curious when like one band is friends with another, like what does that mean in practice? Like, do you guys like as a band call them and be like, hey, you guys want to hang out tonight?
Sometimes.
As bands?
Yeah.
I would say with Honduras, we're actually like our specific, like we're all really good friends.
Yeah. Like we're actually like friends.
Yeah. Well, there's also like, there's just like a couple spots in like Bushwick where I feel like a lot of the musicians kind of hang out. So it's nice. We can just like see them and call them up and you know,
it's a good question.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, sometimes like you have like bands that like the bands like as all four members and all three members are not friends, but as like a title,
as a band,
they're friends.
Yes,
or because they've played a lot of shows together, they're friends.
Yeah,
or like mutual fans of each other, met at a festival once,
right?
Like mention each other in interviews.
Yeah, but that doesn't. I feel like that doesn't That's happen. Not a bad that doesn't thing. Happen that much. I feel like most people are like sort of reasonable about. I mean, I'd say a lot of bands that are just coming up at the same time will be like grouped together a lot or like references friends.
Sometimes you're friends with bands that you don't know just because you have all the same things happening at the same time. So everyone you meet is already talking about the other band because they just met them too, but you've never met them.
But you're just in the same sphere,
and you're like, oh, that's like our friend band.
But whatever you say, I wouldn't say that.
But Honduras is a real friend band.
Honduras is a real friend band. We know them real well. They're good guys.
We have this. Our manager manages them.
Yeah,
that is pretty close.
I've known them we were friends before we were a band.
Yeah, and our manager Krista, that's the only other band that she manages. So it's like kind of like a family affair because we just all like we all do stuff together and.
And if you
other.
Go on tour without a band, it's really terrible. It's not terrible, but it's so much more fun when you go on tour with another band, because then when you get to the venue, you have people to hang out with instead of, like, the same old
people. This past tour,
people.
Nick's like, I hate not being on tour with a band. I have to
every time
we get to a venue,
it's
like, God damn it.
Well, no, it's just, like, I really miss,
spice
like,
things up with the relationship.
When we went on a short tour with Honduras last spring, we went to South By with them and stayed in the same house as them, and it was just a lot of fun. And then we had a lot of fun going on tour with Cherry Glazer and hanging out with them in the Buttertones. And then
Dive and No Joy.
The Dive and No Joy tour was so much fun because everyone just like got along really well.
And they're great.
Hung out.
Great, yeah.
And then when you're on tour by yourself, like you just get to the venue and you're like, oh, like I don't have friends here meeting me.
Eat a can of Pringles, like drink a Diet Coke, like do the sound check, you know.
Right.
We all just end up on our phones. Because we've just been in the car for like 6 hours together, so like we've already talked about what we need to talk about.
And then
Europe,
there's no Wi-Fi, so you've been staring out the window, like looking at the. I mean, not no Wi-Fi, but like you know, you don't have service.
Right.
So once you get to the venue, you're like a Wi-Fi hog, which is like a horrible thing to be.
I never thought of it that way because I've never been in a touring band, but like that is true. If you're touring with another band, it's like you show up at the venue and you've already got friends. Like you might be in a city you've never been before,
but you already have like.
But you have like four people who are your friends. You're like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. And you and you don't have to hang out with them 24/7 like you do with your band, so it's like a little more exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Gotta keep moving till I finish my run. Hollywood men, we go back where I'm from. Go away, sugar. We didn't want you at all.
Well, let's talk about, so the next one that you suggested is Whitney No Woman is the song. So what do you guys like about that?
It's also, have you guys listened to that?
I've never heard of it.
Well,
we all listened to Whitney the other day.
Yeah, you did hear it.
That was that the song that we heard? That song's really good. They're good.
If it's country, I like it.
It's not, it's not country.
It's kind of, it kind of is.
That's what everyone's saying, that they're country.
It has like a country vibe.
Well, it's like a lot of dudes, right? It's like five dudes.
It's like seven or something. They have like horns.
Too many. That's like three that's too many.
It's cool.
Some dudes in a band.
No, it's cool.
Might as well be two bands.
It's cool. No, it's cool. It's the Smith Westerns.
Oh, really?
And the, I didn't know the first drummer of Yomo.
Okay.
Is,
cool.
He's singing and playing drums. And
so you got the all star lineup.
Yeah. Does it sound like the band?
What do you
mean? The band. He means the band.
Is it like folk rock or is it
a
country
little bit?
Rock?
It's like folk rock, but think like a Yomo like filter on
it's
it.
It's like
really.
It's like
I gotta hear this.
And it's really cool.
And the singing is nice. Yeah. It's like and not like it's just like just good singing. It's not like weird singing. It's not like you know, it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. It's just like it's also very solid. Yeah, I feel
They haven't released that much music, but we're definitely digging. I'm digging into them.
Yeah. No. There were horns on it that I really thought were like beautiful and kind of like the old like the. It's hard to describe, like, but like the old school way that they would like arrange horns, you know?
Yeah. Again, like another thing, like old school, but also like very original and very new sounding, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's listen to a little bit of that. So that's the band is Whitney and the song is called No Woman. All right, that was Whitney, No Woman. So yeah, so that's those are the recommendations you brought in. Thank you.
I have one more off the top of my head.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Do you have anything you want to add?
We could talk about Fat White Family.
Oh yeah, they came out. Yeah, their album came out.
Their album came out. I also love the Empress Of album, Me, but that might have come out in January. Well, I guess that is that counts.
You mean December? It came out in December for sure.
Oh, so it doesn't count as like a this yearly, but it counts.
It's fine. It's not that long ago.
I just love Empress Of. I think she's the best. I think she's super cool. Big fan, and that's all I can say. She's the coolest.
When you're like her, do you know her? Like when you're in a band and there's an album that comes out, do you pretty much figure like, okay, I'll run into this person at some point?
Sort of. I don't actually know her. I would like to, but I think that I get too nervous. And actually, one time before the album came out, I was listening to a lot of her like stuff, but before then, and I ran into her at Baby's All Right, and I was like, I went up to her and I was like, but I forgot her. Her name is Lorelei, and I forgot her name. So like, I just blew my moment. Like I was like, oh my god, hi! Like you're Empress Of, your she's like Lorelei, and I was like, yeah, and then we like shook hands, but yeah, I think she's just super inspirational and just a really, really cool girl who just like does really good, makes really good music and doesn't have to like, she's not like super like, has to like announce it to everyone all the time, which is, I'm not saying that the way that anybody goes about it is bad. And especially as a woman, you're in a different kind of position, so there's just a lot of different ways that it's viewed, but I just really like, I also really like the attitude of just like doing something and just like standing behind it and like letting your music stand for itself and just like existing, and I think that she does that really well, so I'm just really inspired by her.
Cool.
Oh, also Kate LeBon had a new song
and
come out.
Kate LeBon is the best. She's the best.
What's the new song?
Crab Days.
I haven't heard Crab Days yet, but I'm skeptical about the name.
I don't think Mug Me Zam is a great name for an album either.
Yeah, but it's such a
but
good
it's
album.
A great album.
You know,
and I don't think
Days,
that.
Crab Days, like what? But it's probably good knowing her.
You don't really
want
to listen to that. You don't hear like Crab Days and like.
Crab Days, like all right, it's fine. I'm sure it's good.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. I love the album Human Ceremony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have anything coming up in the immediate future, or just like focusing on touring or
Thursday, February 25th, Barry Ballroom.
Yeah, we're headlining 16 Barry. Plus.
That's exciting. That's 2 days. Wait, is it really 16 plus? Yeah.
It's really, yeah. Isn't that
it's
cool?
It's really 16 plus.
Yeah.
Just because it's so hard.
I didn't even know they did that. I thought they like went down to 18.
Yeah, that's our, we're really true to our DIY ethics. We won't play any 21 plus shows.
I wish, that's not true, but I wish we could. But there was like some kids in the UK who, like there was this one girl who couldn't get into the show, and she waited upstairs with like her mom and heard the whole show upstairs, and then came downstairs and like we like signed some stuff. But It's true. It really sucks, especially in New York.
I mean,
for seeing shows, just Bloomberg, New York City.
Yeah, and people are very worried about like the one kid getting served alcohol and then like losing their license. No, although it's crazy because. I don't want to say the name of the venue because I feel like there could be like legal things, but there is a Greenpoint venue that operated without a liquor license for like 5 years. So I'm like, if they can do that, like, why are you so worried about this happening? Like, I don't know.
Well, there are like other weird ways to like get around it, or it's like, I feel like DIY, but like you buy a certain thing every day, or you know what I mean?
I don't think it's good for venues to be serving alcohol to minors, though.
No, not at all. But like the ex's situation works, you know, or like something works, or like that you have to have the bracelet.
Right.
You know,
it's there are ways to get around it.
You shouldn't, it's not right to like not let like 15, 16-year-old kids to go to shows, because they're the ones who need it the most. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the time you're even like 20, you're like, your brain's already like kind of like settling a little bit. Like you already love music if you love music, you know. But when you're like a weird kid and like
that's when it can be life changing.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
So it's cruel to not let kids go to shows. I think.
I mean, we're all still too young to go to 21 plus venues.
Yeah, so it's like
that's pretty funny. I mean, not like laughing at you, but it's just funny because you produce a really like it's a full album. It doesn't sound like, no offense to 20-year-olds, but it doesn't sound like something that came from people.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
But yeah. Anyways, thanks for stopping by.
No,
really
thanks
appreciate
so much.
It.
This is really
thank
fun. Was thanks lovely for listening to our guys. Our rambling.
Thank
here.
You.
I appreciate the thoughts. Okay. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.